son is the heaviness of his mother. The home is vitally important in the spiritual life. The home environment is important, setting an example for children to grow up and learn how to behave and how to live. And church is vital, but the home is just as vital. So there's not a conflict between the two. We spend far more hours at home with our family than we do in church. Normally, even if you're very faithful in church, it's about 3 or 4 hours a week that you spend in church if you're in service every time the doors are open. If folks teach their children the Bible and morals and ethics of a Christian life, then it will instill in them understanding that we will reinforce when they come to church and they're taught in Sunday school and junior church and in the preaching services and that sort of thing. You remember Adam and Eve had 2 sons at the beginning. They had many more children after that, but Cain and Abel were born unto them. And those 2 boys had the same home. They had the same parents. They had the same teaching that God had taught Adam and Adam had taught them. They had the same environment to grow up in. But one was righteous and the other became a murderer. Cain and Abel. We see folks come to church and have a good testimony, may still have some problems with their children when they get in their teenage years or after they become adults. One of their children may live for God and follow all of their parents' teaching, and another in the same home may follow the peers they go to school with or live in the neighborhood with into sinful living. Many rebel and refuse to endure under their parents' authority. They bring heartbreak and turmoil into their home. Solomon had the son Rehoboam, and Rehoboam went astray from David and Solomon's teachings. David favored his son Absalom. He was exalted. He was a handsome man. And he rebelled against his father and tried to overthrow his father's kingdom, so much so that Joab, David's captain of his host, threw a dart through his heart when he hung in a tree because of his long hair, when he rode up under a tree. And he was in the midst of rebelling against David, trying to kill David and overthrow the kingdom. Eli the priest had sons that were wicked, and they laid with women at the temple door. But he also raised Samuel, who became the great leader of the nation of Israel and was a mighty man of God. We need to teach the Bible in our home, and we need to pray, we need to go to church, we need to establish a Christian home with the kind of morals and ethical practices that will set a godly example, and so that we will act as if what Jesus would do as a Christian. To be Christ-like is what a Christian is. We all fall short of that because we're not Christ-like 24/7. We get in the flesh sometimes. We get angry sometimes. We yield to temptation sometimes, but the desire for us as a Christian is to walk the straight and narrow path and to have a good testimony. Secondly, finances are a big part of our life. And in finances, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Finances are we all have to deal with all the time. I've been sitting down and looking at my latter years. You know, how much does it take to live week to week and month to month? And I've added up our taxes and our insurance and our power bill and our cell phones and food and a little bit of medicine and Medicare and all of that kind of stuff. And I need $3,600 a month going out every month just to pay those bills. Now, most of them are not due monthly. Some of them are due yearly, you know, and some of them are due weekly, and some of them are due monthly. But that's what it averages out to. And so it's good to budget. It's good to know what you got to go out, because that way you know not to get in debt and get more going out than you have coming in, because we've got to be able to service our debt and to keep a good testimony of paying our bills. Now, those who were wicked with their finances, Judas was a thief and betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The Bible says, in contrast, that righteousness delivers from death. God supplies the needs of the righteous and blesses us with longevity of life if we're faithful unto the Lord. And if men love money, they won't love God first place. We can't serve God and mammon, the Lord taught. So we can't serve money and serve the Lord at the same time. Material things and the desires for them and the love for them will get ahead of our love for God. And we must beware putting things ahead of the Lord, because it's easy to do and to get things out of place and how we should serve the Lord. If you got your Bibles, you want to look back a little bit at Psalm 37. This psalm is filled with verses about this very thing, about the contrast between the righteous and the wicked when it comes to God supplying the needs. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, David said, "I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David said in his lifetime he hadn't seen the righteous begging, and he had been old, young, and now he's old, but throughout his life he hasn't seen the righteous forsaken. God can supply the needs of righteous people. In verse 3 and 4 in Psalm 37, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." In chapter 37 and verse 16, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Verse 19, "They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied." And then in verse 20, "The wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away." Verse 35 and 36, "I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. I sought him, but he could not be found." So there are many verses in the scriptures that teach us that God preserves the righteous, and God will feed those who serve him and please him. God will supply the needs of believers. It doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want, but we will be blessed of the Lord, and we would be better off with the Lord's blessings than to be wicked and have treasures that are in, like, put in bags with holes in them that will flee away. God won't let the righteous famish. He will supply our needs. He will care for us, and he will provide our needs. Finances are a big part of our life, but they're not the only part of our life. If we stay busy serving the Lord and we work hard, God will supply our needs. We must not love money. The love of money has the root of evil within it. You remember the story of Lot and how he wanted the well-watered plains that were at Sodom. And he first went there to feed his sheep off the well-watered plains. And then he moved into the city. And then he moved into the gate where the leaders sat. And then the city moved into Lot. And when Lot fled, because he was righteous, God warned him of the destruction of the city. When he fled, he lost everything that he had. The city was totally destroyed. His wife looked back longing for that life and was turned into a pillar of salt. His two daughters became immoral with him in drunkenness. And two nations were raised up, the Ammonites and the Moabites, that were a problem nations to Israel throughout their days. Hard work and ethics gets us ahead. If we're diligent, then we can get ahead in life. There are expressions like in verse number 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The old saying in our land is you have to make hay while the sun shines. If you don't know anything about farming, you can't make hay when it's raining. You have to cut hay and let it dry in order to put it up in a stack or to bale it in bales. It needs to dry out. With square bale hay, it's cut, and then they bring a rake along and rake it over so that it dries on both sides. So you want good hot days to square bale hay. It's a little different with the newer style of hay today when they make these gigantic round bales that they will feed a herd of cows a whole big round bale at a time. Some of those bales can be as much as 1,200 pounds. So you have to have tractors and that sort of thing to load them. You can't load them by hand. But there's a lot of waste that happens with those kind of bales rather than with the square bales. And if you don't know, horses don't eat the same hay that cows eat. Cows can eat fescue. And if some gets a little damp or something, they have two stomachs. They can survive some soured hay or something like that. Horses usually are fed coastal Bermuda, and they can't eat anything that has any rot or sourness to it. They will develop a disease called colic, and it's very severe. Two problems there. Your horse could die. But even worse, you may have to call a veterinarian and pay him to pump stomach out or something, you know. And so you'll go broke with horses. But making hay while the sun shines, you got to get it cut and baled and put up so that it's not in the weather. And you got to get that done while there's an opportunity. It's a simple adage to mean that we don't need to put things off. We need something, we see something that needs doing, we need to go ahead and get it done. And that way we don't make excuses for why it didn't take place. Take responsibility to get things done. Don't put off what needs to be done today. Don't waste time. We all waste a certain amount of time. We relax, we can call it resting, you know, but in addition to sleep, we spend a lot of hours a day, usually, watching TV or reading or doing things that we want to do. Some families play games. My daughter's family has been on quarantine. Joy took them a load of games from our house over there, you know, Monopoly and Parcheesi and all that kind of stuff. You know, the kids like to play board games, they call them. And it fills their time, so they're not bored. And but if you're young and growing up and college age and that sort of thing, learn to invest your time to help you in building your career. Don't waste time with video games and too much time on television and all that sort of thing. You work 8 hours a day or you go to school full time. There's about 4 hours a day that you could spend learning a trade or doing side work or things of that nature that you could get ahead and make a considerable more wage than just an 8 hour a day job. And it will better you. It won't take that long until you realize that you've gotten ahead. Pete and I and several others of you have gone to college and worked a full-time 40-hour week job while going to college. That's not easy to do. You won't sleep a lot. But if you work 40 hours a week, you'll have Saturday and Sunday off, and you can catch up on your studies and maybe catch up on a nap and some things like that, and you can get a lot accomplished. Verse 6 and 7, the character of the worker. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The just obtain the blessings of the Lord, and God makes their way prosperous. You'll remember Joshua and how the Lord told him in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua to meditate on the word of God day and night, and he would make his way prosperous, and then he would find good success. But the wicked reap as they sow. If their life is filled with violence, they may make money with lies and deceit, but it will be easily lost, and it will not mature for them in the way that it will for the righteous. A legacy is leaving behind a godly testimony and a godly example, a good memory that people will cherish. But the memory of the wicked people avoid because there's no praise that they can offer on their behalf. It is as rot. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Abraham in the Bible, his name is known by many nations of people. His name is praised even by Islamic nations. They praise the name of Abraham. Christians praise the name of Abraham. The Jews praise the name of Abraham. But the name of many wicked rulers and kings in the Bible are not remembered. If they are remembered, they're not remembered with respect. Look at verse 8 through 14. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Now we contrast here the wise and the foolish. The wise receive commands, instructions. When they are told what they are to do from their employer or from their educator or from their parents, the wise will listen. But a fool won't take advice. Fool has his mind made up on seeking his pleasures. The upright walk with a surety, but the ways of the perverted will be revealed and exposed. Joseph was seduced by his employer's wife. Joseph was away from home. He had been sold into slavery by his brothers. He had pleased his employer, and his employer had put many things under his charge because he had pleased him with hard work. But his wife sought to lay with Joseph, and she seduced him, and he refused to sin against God and sin against his employer. And so he fled, but she grabbed his garment and tore it from him, and then accused him to her husband, and he was put in prison. In prison, he immediately began to excel again, and the prison guard put him in charge of many things. God revealed dreams to Joseph. He had when he was younger, and he did while he's here in prison. And these two prisoners had dreams, and they asked Joseph, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. One of them, the king would take his head. The other one would be restored to his job. And he said, when you're restored, please speak to the king or Pharaoh to for me, because I'm unjustly here. And so time went by, and they took the head of the one, as he had said. The other was restored, as he said, but he forgot all about Joseph until Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And he sought his wise men to interpret it, and no one could tell him. And the baker said, my sin, I forgot about the man in prison who can interpret dreams. The spirit of the true God is in him. And so the Pharaoh sent for Joseph and brought him up. And Joseph told him that his dream meant that there would be 7 years of plenty, and they would be followed by 7 years of famine, and that he should put somebody over the land to store up during the 7 good years to get prepared for the 7 lean years that were to follow. And Pharaoh liked his answer and said, who is there better to put over this than Joseph, who can interpret the dreams? And he put a ring on Joseph's finger and he said, only in the matters of the kingdom will I be above you. You will be over everything else and be in charge. And God used Joseph to preserve Egypt, but also his brothers came down to Egypt to buy corn, and Joseph was able to save the nation of Israel and move them to Egypt to survive the famine. And all of this because he was faithful to serve the Lord, even when things weren't going well for him. If you'd like to look up some of that in Genesis 41, if you start in verse 16 and read through verse 52, you'll see where he interpreted the dream for Pharaoh and how it came to pass. Joseph endured for years. We'd like to think if we're living for the Lord and we're praying and we're doing right, God's supposed to answer our prayer overnight. And we're supposed to get, better days because we prayed. But that's not how God works. God has his timing, and it's seldom fast. Joseph endured. He was 17 feeding his father's flock when he dreamed dreams. And then when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years of age. So 13 years passed. He was sold into slavery. He was put into prison. And now he's come before Pharaoh. 13 years have passed. God worked all the years of Joseph to bring about saving the nation of Israel and moving them to Egypt. And then 430 years passed before God raised up Moses to go and tell the Pharaoh of that day to let my people go, that we may worship the Lord and go to the land of Canaan that God had promised. Verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 10, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. He that winneth souls is wise, the scripture says. It's like a tree of life. And you have the power of life in your tongue to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help somebody be saved, and they receive eternal life when they get saved. Speak the word of God, it has power to convert souls. The mouth of the wicked will stir up violence. You remember the story of Mordecai and Esther, and how Mordecai went to Esther as the queen and besought her help because Haman had built a gallows and wanted to hang all of the Jews on the gallows. And she saved all the nation of Israel by obeying. Haman spoke from vengeance and lost his life. He was hung on his own gallows. But Israel was spared, and Mordecai was exalted to a chief place, and his relative Esther became the queen of longevity with the king. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Strife is easily stirred up when people are angry, and especially when people have hate in their heart. The Jewish nation of religious people hated the Apostle Paul simply because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They caused him to suffer greatly, beaten 5 times with rods, 39 stripes, several times, cast into inner parts of prison, put in chains. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and spent a night and a day in the deep, at float in the ocean. Now, Paul's words were the truth. He gave the gospel to help men be saved. But they hated him because he turned their converts away from them and to the truth of the gospel. In verse 13, picture the wise man helping others by his wisdom, but the harm and violence that's caused by foolish men. Verse 14, the wise man lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolish is near destruction. A fool's mouth and behavior gets him into trouble, but wise men choose their words carefully, and we should have greater patience than foolish people have. Men of wealth have a protection, but the poor lack that same protection. Time changes things. Verse 15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Like the rich young farmer who thought he could tear down his buildings and build bigger ones and then eat and drink and be merry. And the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose will all these things be?" Men, you work yourself to death for your wife. You may be putting stuff in the bank so her second husband will have plenty to live off of when that day comes, you know, or maybe the other way around. Be aware that the scripture is clear that if we're immoral, that God won't be able to bless what we have. Back in 1923, there was a great meeting that took place in Chicago in the Edgewater Beach Hotel. There were men who were the greatest leaders of finance in America and mostly of the world in that day. The president of the country's largest independent steel company, the president of National City Bank, the president of the country's largest utility company, the president of the country's largest gas company, the country's wealthiest wheat baron, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, a member of the president's cabinet, a man said to be the greatest bear on Wall Street, the head of the world's greatest monopoly, and the president of the Bank of International Settlements. 26 years later, because of the Depression, Charles Schwab was one of those men. He was dead, bankrupt. Samuel Insull had died a fugitive from justice. Howard Hobson had gone insane. Arthur Cotton died abroad, insolvent. Richard Whitney had just been released from Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall had received a pardon so he could go home from prison to die. Jesse Livermore had committed suicide. Ivor Kruger, whose suicide shook the financial world because they discovered he was a forger and was labeled the biggest swindler in the annals of crime up to that point in time. Leon Frazier had committed suicide. These men experienced the futility of loving money and living for the pleasure that wealth could bring and rejecting righteousness and the teachings of the Lord. Solomon understood the futility of rejecting reproof. and he saw the destruction that could come. In 2 Kings, the Bible tells us about Ahaz. Ahaz was king of Judah. Although he had a godly father, Jotham, and grandfather, Uzziah, Ahaz would not listen to instruction or reproof. He became a king at 20 years of age, and he rejected the example of his grandfather and his father. He became an idolater, and he dedicated his son to an idol, passing him through the fires. Isaiah was sent by God to go to Ahaz and to warn him to repent, but he rejected the word of Isaiah, and he looked to the nation of Assyria that was wealthy and powerful to help him against the other nations. They took his money, but when they saw the wealth that he could achieve from the temple and from the palace, they desired to conquer him and take all of his wealth. So the Assyrians overran Samaria and Damascus, and they reduced Ahaz to be under Assyria as not much more than a servant. His pattern of behavior goes back to being a young boy rejecting the teaching of his parents and not listening to their correction and their reproof. Proverbs has a lot to say, and Proverbs can give us great wisdom to live where we don't suffer and cause trouble and problems and avoid many of the difficulties of life. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool, the scripture says. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he that addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is as an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Put your trust in an unfaithful man, Proverbs says, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. It's painful to put your trust in somebody who fails you and discourages you. Proverbs, you can read one at a time and find a wealth of information, or you can read a passage of Proverbs that deals with the contrast between the righteous and the fool. This whole Proverb 10 deals quite a bit with that. Lord, help us to be righteous people, obey the Lord, have a good testimony and an example, live for God, and trust Him that He'll supply our needs. And I believe He's promised to do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here. We pray Your blessings upon each here and each family. We pray that You'll strengthen us and help us to be those who do find Your success and prosperity by obeying You and walking with God. Now bless Your people with health and protection and prosperity, we pray. And we ask for those blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.